Liberty Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. We're glad you're joining us this week. Our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. We hope that tuning in for our weekly chats will help push you outside of your comfort zone and add some new experiences to your bucket list. We also welcome ideas for topics, so if there's something you'd like to hear more about, please let us know. My name is Lindsay, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander agents Laura, Sandy, Elizabeth, and Donna. Part of the appeal of travel is to immerse yourself in a new culture and truly experience a location. One of the best ways to do that is to go where the locals go. But how do you find out where they are? And when you find them, how do you blend in? We wanted to give you some tips on why you want to search out those local hidden gems and how to find them. So let's get started.
So I always laugh when somebody says, how to fit in? Because it's like, well, you wear your tropical shirt and your Bermuda shorts and you put a camera around
Make
your
sure
neck.
You have your camera on.
Yeah, and no one will ever know.
Put the sunscreen on your nose.
That's right.
Pull your socks
up. Your t-shirt that says, I love America.
Yeah.
Docks and sandals are months.
Yep. People do that at Mount Rushmore. And I mean, it doesn't matter. It's everywhere you see it. So it's hilarious.
So whenever you guys try to feel like you're really experiencing something not so touristy, you want to be a little more authentic. What do you do? What do you look for? How do you figure it out?
A full parking lot.
Oh, there you go.
Without a lot of out-of-state tags.
Yeah. That could just mean really good advertising too.
It could be on Anthony Bourdain.
That is true.
Yeah. You know, he could visit a McDonald's and all of a sudden everybody would go there.
Although he does hit a lot of local spots. So I will say, if you saw it on Anthony Bourdain, it still may be pretty.
He was just in Pittsburgh. Did you guys see
him? Oh my God. This is only 2 minutes in.
Hell, I know. It was awesome.
Well, one of the creepiest things my husband and I have done is follow local people.
So you stalk them?
Well, if it's like lunch break or something, and then one of the other things that I've been doing for a couple of years now is my first night in a location, I will try and do some type of tour, like a photo tour or ghost tour, mm-hmm. or food or alcohol related tour, mm-hmm. Something like that, because the guides know more than what they're telling you on the tour. I mean, they're locals. They've most of the time born and raised there. They have insider tips and tricks on things that you're going to want to fit into your schedule. And if you wait until your very last night in the destination to do that, you could come home with a little bit of regret that you missed out on something that, that you could have experienced. So, and I found their wealth, especially at ghost stores, everyone thinks, oh, it sounds so cheesy, but really, whether you believe or you don't believe, you're getting a history lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of what you're there for. You get to kind of get out and walk through the city and have someone bring the history to life for you. So that's what I've been.
Charleston does ghost tours, which that is such a cool city.
Almost every city does.
Yeah, but Charleston has got a really cool vibe to it. You know, I think that's a
Savannah
good,
does too.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a really good. Well, and they also do they have a real Blackbeard storyline mm-hmm. going on, and they have the smuggling cave still and mm-hmm. stuff. You know, there's some really cool stuff.
Edinburgh, mm-hmm. Scotland is another one that you have to do a ghost tour in. It's
I saw it when I was researching this podcast. They had something about all these underground tunnels that were forgotten in Edinburgh. It was really cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't read the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that locals do that, but yeah, definitely. I second the tour thing. I think, you know, people always sort of discount tours. Oh, I don't want to be shuffled around with a bunch of people. But really, that guide knows the area so mm-hmm. well. And if you just chat with the guide for a little bit, you'll get your money's worth. Even if you ignore every other part of the tour, which every tour guide is going, no, don't say that. But if you chat with them in between stops or whatever, mm-hmm. you're going to learn so much about the area, and they'll point out their favorite bars, their favorite restaurants, their favorite, mm-hmm. Did you know that on this corner, so-and-so met so-and-so and they had the big love affair of whatever, 1964 or whatever. You'll get those stories that you might not have even known, and then you can follow up with a Google or whatever and learn more.
I was like that. I remember whenever we went to the Dolly Museum in St. Petersburg or St. Pete's Beach, I was at an age where I didn't want to blend in with a tour. I didn't want to do that. and the tour was free too, you know, but we did happen to kind of walk up while they were talking about some of the paintings, and I ended up taking a print home of the painting they were talking about because it was so cool the way they pointed out all these things I didn't realize, and I didn't know this about Salvador Dali, and, you know, so it just adds a lot to your understanding and your trip to actually get that little bit of guided tour.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them do it now, like the Dali Museum. They have an app you can download, and you can just plug in your earbuds, and you don't have to follow around a crowd. You can do their audio tour, and it's free. You know, it's part of the experience. So
I think a good thing to do locally, or not, or domestically at least, is to look up local festivals that are happening.
Yeah. Chamber of Commerce is a valuable resource tool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and you can just Google festivals happening in, you know, Denver or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes at those festivals, you see local artists, you see local food trucks, you see, you know, and there are a lot of, you know, locals there. So
mm-hmm.
you have the chance to kind of chat. And the other thing is to see if there are any cultural neighborhoods in the city you're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other thing is you can do is put it out there on your Facebook page, especially if you've got a lot of friends, because you ask a question, they're going to give you their opinion because, you know, you're asking for it.
Mm-hmm.
Say, hey, I'm going to Dallas. What's something that I need to do while I'm there? Is there a restaurant I need to go to?
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, and be a little specific about what you're looking for. Say, you know, I really like local joints that, you know, Greasy Spoons, and they're going to tell you where to go.
Mm-hmm. And, or they'll tag their friends who either live there or have lived there.
Yep.
So you'll, mm-hmm. and so you get to meet new people and and pull that in. I see a lot of my friends do this actually, all the time, and it works beautifully. And I mean, people who are like, I'm going to China, I'm going to Shanghai and I need a restaurant. And so, and there are people out there who've been there and know.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you've never been there, even if you didn't realize that any of your friends had been, they probably know somebody who has been who can then. And so you want to, when you do a post like that, you want to make sure you make it public so that other people can comment on it who don't know you, because they'll get tagged and then they won't be able to comment back to you. That's a great way, to learn and take those, you know, get those addresses ahead of time and take them with you, especially if you're going to another country where you might not have GPS with you all the time. Go ahead and write it down so that you can, you know, give it to a taxi driver or whatever and get you there.
And the other thing you can
do
you can do is go to one of those like super touristy things, you know, and then talk to the people there and say, hey, you know, I'm looking for something a little more local. Do you know anything?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So another thing that's really great to do, you mentioned taxi drivers, and I've been doing this for a while now, is when you get in a cab, especially if you're in another country, if you only have a day, or if you have, you know, however much time you have, you can actually, most of the time, pay a cab driver to take you to their favorite spots.
Yes, except in Prague. Don't do that in Prague.
It's not going to save everywhere, but there's a lot of places where it pays to, because they are a wealth of information. And even if I'm not, you know, even if I'm just taking a quick cab ride to my first destination, chat the cabbie up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's their city. They drive it every day. They know it. They live it. They breathe it.
I would love to see a trip with Lindsay and Brandy.
Actually, that sort of brings me to my next point. Travel with a chatty person. So as an introvert, I am so grateful when I'm traveling with somebody else. Yes. It's like, oh, good. Lindsay's going to talk to the guy and we're going to learn all this great stuff and I'm going to enjoy all the stuff we do, but I didn't have to talk to the guy to figure it out. So I'm telling you, I do this all the time. I'm like, my best travel companions are the ones who like can chat and get a conversation started. So I don't have
to. Our friend Brandy, whenever I was in college, we went to Chicago for a college thing. It was anyway, we were in Chicago and we took a cab out one night and she would not stop talking to the cab driver, even though we were all out of the cab and like trying to get her to come into this club. And he just left the meter running and we're like, stop talking to him. Let's go.
You're costing us money.
We're like, enough.
Go ahead. I was going to say, not to state the obvious, but you could ask your travel agent. You know, we know a lot of travel agents all over the United States, suppliers all over the, you know, all over the world, really, who can help us to find, you know, great little local establishments, dance clubs, cooking classes, all kinds of ways to immerse yourself in the travel instead of feeling like you went and you saw the six, you know, you saw the Trevi Fountain and you saw the Parthenon and, you know, you saw all those things that everybody has seen, but you never didn't really feel like you got to see the people.
I think that gets to hobby travel too, where if you are already going someplace to, because of a hobby that you have, then you will probably naturally meet people through that hobby. You know, mm-hmm. if you like, Civil War reenactment, you know, or battlefields or whatever, then those places will then attract. So you're going to go to Gettysburg, but you're not going to spend the whole time at the battlefield. You're going to meet people there who know the rest of the area who could help you out with that. Lindsay, I'm sorry, you've been trying to talk. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. So last year when I was in Cuba, I got to experience something very wonderful that I wouldn't have gotten to experience if I hadn't talked to some of the employees actually with the cruise line that had been traveling there over and over and over again. I mean, we found a fantastic restaurant on their recommendation, and then the cabbie is the one that I spoke with, was the one that led me to where the one of the last surviving members of the Buena Vista Social Club was playing, this seedy little restaurant in the middle of nowhere that we wouldn't have never found. That's so if you're on a cruise, or even if you're on a guided something, don't be afraid. Don't feel like you have to take only the things that are recommended at the desk. Ask one of the people who have been there, you know, multiple times. Maybe that's the cruise ship's been their home for 6 months or a year, or mm-hmm. however long, and they've been out many times on their day off and seen things. So,
yeah, one of my clients that wherever they go, they always fly in a day or two early, and they always do a restaurant tour, a food tour.
Yep.
And it immediately begins to immerse them in the, you know, they're on a Trek bicycle tour in Spain now, but they flew in 2 days early, and they at this point they know the procedure, and they hook up with really good places, and they're immersed in the city in the back, out of the way places that, you know, that they would have never thought to go investigate.
Yeah,
that actually sort of ties also into choose your vacation wisely. If you really want to get to know Munich, then, you know, definitely go to Munich, and there's, you know, ways to get into that. And incidentally, pro tip, anytime you go to a big city, a hop on hop off bus tour is like one of the best ways to get oriented. They're super cheap. They're usually less than $30 a person. They go all over the city. So it's basically like public transportation for you. And then there's a audio guide so that you can hear some of the history, and you can get off at various major locations, but then you can wander from there. So it's just like public transportation, but unlike a lot of public transportation, it's above ground instead of underground. So yes, it's the big red tourist bus in the city, but it, you know, you will experience a lot more of the city. But if you want to experience, say, Germany or France, then look into, you know, a hiking tour or a river cruise, or, you know, something that is more, it's less inclined to be like the major cities of Europe. Do one of the smaller, you know, choose your tour based on what you really want. If you want to experience the people of France, then doing a river cruise, that will include some land, obviously, is going to be the way to go, because just going into Paris is really not going to teach you about France. It's going to teach you about Paris. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've talked a lot about big cities and sort of go in, and on previous podcasts, we've talked about, oh, you can Yelp this and you can do it. But if you really want to experience a country, then just be careful about how you choose your tour. And you can really, you know, you can do ecotourism, or, you know, local tourism, where you can stay on a farm and, you know, stay with a family. There's all sorts of opportunities like that.
And the other thing you can do, even when you're in a big city, is a private tour.
Yes.
So that way it's just you and your family and the guide. And that way, if you want to go say, hey, you know what, I want 15 minutes. I want to go into this shop and I want to go buy some wine. You go into the shop and you go buy some wine, and he can sit there and tell you, okay, well, these are the wines that are in this region, and these are the right wines that come from this region, and find out. They can kind of point you in the right direction, and it's a lot more flexible for your own schedule. Hey, I want to go get a gelato, or I want to go get a coffee or whatever. Okay, let's do that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, they can tell you, well, don't go into that wine shop because it's overpriced. Go into this wine shop because you're going to get a better selection for less money. And that sort of those little gems are, you know, or in France, we really wanted to go to a cheese shop and we saw one and we're like, oh, cheese shop. And she said, oh, no, wait. And so then we continued on, and later on she took us to another one, and I have no idea what was different about it, but she assures us. Now, maybe she was getting a cut. I don't know. But, but you know, it's, you know, that those little local tips, you know, oh, you want ice cream, walk three more blocks and you can get this like handmade ice cream. Whereas this is just
comes out of a box.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you hear private tour and you think, oh, that's lots of money. It's not like a VIP tour at Disney World. You know, it's not thousands of dollars an hour. It's usually more than a regular tour would be, but it's not that much more, especially if you have a large family or a, you know, small
It's group. About 1.5 times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, in some of the countries, there's like volunteer tourism too. There's
yes.
a good way to immerse yourself is to give back, especially if you're, you know, visiting the country that is struggling or that could really use your support is to do some type of volunteer activity. You know, once again, gets you to a different part of the country and a different set of experiences.
Lindsay, you did that with Fathom, right? Which is now going away, but a lot of those experiences are transferred over to Carnival now, right? So you can do them off of Carnival.
Yes, you can actually still book a lot of those experiences. And that's a wonderful, wonderful way to experience a culture in a real organic setting. I mean, I went and did the, I was able to go to Ripa Pal and do, help women who make a living making art out of recycled goods and making recycled paper and the Women's Chocolate Co-op. And there's even one where you got to make filters for a water filter for a family to have clean drinking water for 5 years. And you spend all day making this clay pot for this filter. And at the end of the day, your pot has to dry for a week, but you get to deliver a pot that was made by someone the week before to a family and have dinner with them in their home. So it's a very, they offer wonderful experiences for you to do some good while you're on your vacation and actually really make a real connection. And I think one of the great things about that is you're finding out that, I mean, it's, you know, you think you're benefiting them, but really it's benefiting you.
Yeah. We have opportunities to read to school children and even some to volunteer animal shelters. So if people aren't your thing, but you like our four-legged friends, there's also opportunities there. So
yeah, that's a good way.
There's a shop that's throughout the United States called 10,000 Villages.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all of the products in there. First of all, most of those stores are staffed by volunteers and only volunteers. There's like one manager, but everybody else is volunteer. And they, all their products there are made by people in countries that are depending upon this for their living.
Mm-hmm.
And they can often give you a connect, you know, if you're going to Vietnam, if you're going to Peru, if you're going to, they can tell you some of the projects that they help support there as a way for you to connect with that city too. So.
That's a great way to have an authentic experience and really bridge the gap between being a tourist and a traveler.
Mm-hmm. For those of us who like to drink, and I think we've shared this on a solo travel podcast before, but or eat for that matter, if you're traveling by yourself or you're on your own for a little bit before you meet up with a group, one trick that my dad taught my sister and I, which is to go to a bar and eat at the bar. So go to a restaurant, but go eat at the bar as a solo traveler, because then you can chat with the bartender and they'll sort of look after you, but they'll also have all these tips on local, you know, they'll love to tell you all about like the right places to go and when to go and whatever your interests are, there'll be a bartender that matches up with those. So it's always, I mean, honestly, it sounds kind of cliche too, but it's,
I don't know. I think I might have to try out a couple of bartenders.
Yes. Well, right. If you don't like the one you got the first time, just go to another and eventually you'll like the one that you find.
You just keep drinking. Yeah, and you're going to love that bartender eventually.
Along the lines of that, a beer tour.
Mm-hmm.
I, you know, my last trip just recently to Anchorage. That's what I did my first night. I went to on a guided beer tour of several breweries, and it was fantastic because at each brewery I got different tips on where to go and things I needed to do while I was there. And not only that, I got to sample some amazing beer. And if that's your thing, that's where you really need to start off. So then you know what you want to drink for the rest of your trip.
Yeah. Right. And when we put together beer tours before, one of my favorite things to do is make sure, okay, yeah, we're going to hit a big one. You know, one of the larger, more well-known, but then several little tiny ones. And those little tiny ones are sometimes the most rewarding ones to go to, because that, first of all, the people in that brewery are working their butts off, you know, doing what they love.
And labeling.
Yes, exactly. Hand drawing, you know, hand lettering. No, but they're working their butts off. And then they are so well connected to the rest of their city because of the way that they distribute and all of that. So, you know, they've set up shop in a town for a reason. And usually those guys, if they're not from there, then they know that area really, really well. And they can, and I say guys, sometimes it's women. It's still mostly male dominated, but,
except in Holly Springs.
Well, they're out there, but, and it, like to, when I was in, Loveland just recently in Colorado, we found a brewery that I had actually not even heard of, but they're cans are in a store, and we were like, where is this? They're like, oh, it's right down the road. And it's called High Hops. And it's actually like shared with a garden shop. So they're like, you have all the flowers and everything. It's the weirdest place.
Really,
it was awesome. I mean, I just loved it from the second I walked in. Of course, it was also warm, and I'm like, gosh, I can't imagine what it's like when it's cold here, because it's all open air, you know. But yeah, it was, so you find these little quirky places. Frothy Beard in Charleston, you know, it used to actually be run out of a storage unit, basically, literally, like
or the Tattooed Moose in Charleston. I mean, it's a bar, but it had the best duck confit sandwich I've ever had.
Yes. Yes. There's Lost Province and Boone, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, that's, beer is like the gateway to great food. It truly, truly is. I had one of the best things I ate in a lot, and it's so hard because I ate so many amazing things in Anchorage, but was at a brewery. They brought out a whole table on the beer tour. They brought out a whole table of appetizers, and there were specials that she only made that day. And crispy pork belly chips with crispy pork belly dip. And it was, I don't know, probably like one of the top five things I've ever eaten in my life.
That probably took like 6 years off your life just eating it. Too. Know, but that's okay. Totally worth it.
I think I need to.
But you know, Elizabeth, you're saying about that it was shared with a garden shop. That's another great way is to look for the botanical gardens or the gardens of the city that you're going into, or farms that they let you tour or come visit, either wineries or just local agricultural, you know, products, olive farms or, you know,
farmers markets
or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, farmers market is a great way to kind of get to immerse yourself with the locals and, you know, see the cloths that they make and see the wares at the market and, you know, be with, you know, taste fruits you've never tasted before and, you know.
It's funny because we've talked a lot about both food and alcohol on this, which I fully support.
We said we weren't going to do that.
But I will say,
yeah, when
you think about it, that is sort of the heart of almost any community is their food and drink. I mean, everybody has to eat, everybody has to drink. Not
and
necessarily
regional food,
but
can
everybody
really vary. You know,
yes.
And you get like ethnic stuff. And
so talking about like beer being a gateway, I think any sort of local food or whatever, it ends up being a gateway because that's how people live there. I mean, that's what they eat. That's what they do. So starting with food and beverage is actually a great way to get in. And then when you're talking about the garden shop, then you're talking about hobbies again. It's like, well, you could go to, and I had one client who actually got really excited because when she was in Nassau, she took the bus to a fabric store and she found like really amazingly inexpensive lace. I acted excited for her because I could tell she was excited. I don't care anything about fabric. Well, it's not even that I don't care. I just don't know anything about it. I was like, that's great. I wouldn't have known if it was good lace or bad lace, but she was completely thrilled and she had a great day with locals because she got on that bus and these ladies are like, where are you going? Because tourists don't usually get on the public transportation in Nassau. She's like, I'm going to a fabric store I heard about. And they're like, oh, honey, it's the best place. And they took her to it. And you know, they like, it was a great moment for her to just sort of be
And another thing that beer is kind of, or alcohol is a gateway into in a bar is local music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so you find out where they're going to be local, like I was going to say, you were saying that food is kind of the heart of people, so is their song and dance.
Mm-hmm.
And something that, it's like pretty obvious we're all women on this, but sporting events, local sporting events, local soccer, rugby, water polo, rowing, crewing, sailing, it's a great way to get to, are there any local events, like the America's Cup was just happening here, it's something like that, that's a big sporting event. It's a great way to get a taste of the culture that you're part of.
Or go, do a Durham Bulls game.
Yeah, to a local baseball game, yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely.
Yeah, or a basketball game, mm-hmm. or, go see a college basketball game.
Well, and we've actually followed our team. We're hockey fans in my house, and we follow the Carolina Hurricanes, and we've literally followed them to several hockey arenas, and it's sort of our goal to see them play every NHL team eventually. And there are some that are more challenging, like I'm not sure I really want to go to Winnipeg in the winter, which is when you have to go. But I'm totally down with going to Tampa and Miami. I could do that, and Phoenix would be okay. And we've been to Los Angeles, and we've had other trips. Eventually, I've been to Minnesota. And it's sort of a great way because then you're also, because you're a stranger in a strange land, you're wearing the other team's jersey, but then you're talking to all these people and they're like, oh, you came all the way to see your team. And
yeah.
It's, you start up these great conversations and you get to hear about their traditions and that's, their food. It always comes up their food.
Baseball stadiums too. Baseball parks. There's a lot of people that want
to
go to.
Yeah, they tend to be nicer at baseball games. The fans.
I think it depends on the hockey team. I'm still kind of afraid to go to like
Madison Square Garden. It's like one of those. I've talked to several baseball fans that want to visit, mm-hmm. especially the really Fenway Park or mm-hmm. The ones that are really mm-hmm. famous. But that's something my dad would like too, is to visit a bunch.
Well, I'm relatively new up in Pennsylvania, and the town I live in is a small town, Carlisle, and it gets a little tiny, like 6-page paper. Mm-hmm. And I scour that for kind of new and fun things to do. And in July, they're having this whole thing called Slavic Fest.
Ooh. Yeah. There's a lot of ethnicity in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And so I've circled that and got us all, signed up to go and do that.
There's a Slavic club in my cousin's little rinky dink town. That's like the place to go. I think it's a Polish club, actually, but they go there and.
Well, that actually, Laura, that's a great point. Bringing up the not just the local newspaper, but if you can find an independent newspaper that that's in that area, you can find great stuff.
Or even if you are a social media person, if you're a Facebooky,
mm-hmm.
almost every town has a Facebook group about their local happening, what's around, and usually it's a way for locals to communicate. But if you can get in on those pages or get in on those groups and message people, hey, I'm coming to wherever and I want to know what do I need to see and experience while I'm there.
Another really, really good way to see a city is to do a half marathon in that city.
The running thing again.
Really is true though, because you're walking 13 miles or running 13 miles.
You're absolutely right. If you like to run, I think that's a great idea.
Okay, but there are some, and there are some of them that have very generous time limits mm-hmm. that you could walk it. Like the Rock and Roll Half Marathon in Raleigh has a 4-hour time limit. That is over an 18-minute mile, right? So if you find one like that, that's a good walking pace, but then you can see things around the city that you want to go back and visit again.
Even a Volksmarch, because Volksmarch are walking.
What is that?
Yeah.
It's basically half marathons or 5Ks that are walking.
Okay.
Like they're designed for walking.
They're designed for walking.
It's a little bit more family friendly and maybe run of the mill human friendly would be a 5K, to look to see if there's a 5K race. Then you can often support a charity at the same time.
But you're not covering as much ground.
Yes, you're only covering 3.6 miles.
Yeah.
However, that actually brings up a lot of cities have hiking or walking, self-guided walking tours that you can do. And what just popped into my head was Boston. Mm-hmm. That was, we only had a day in Boston. So we walked the Freedom Trail, which everybody's heard about. And they're like, oh, the Freedom Trail. And you can take a bus along it. You can do a guided tour, but you literally can just Google it and walk it from one end to the other. And I want to say it's like 4 miles, something like that total. But they've got all these stops along the way and you can self-guide it. And almost every city has something like that, where if you Google it, you'll find some sort of like, you know, walk in this mobster's footsteps, or,
there are apps now where you, if you're going to visit a big city, and there was one that I came across and I can't remember the name of it, but if you just Google like walking tour apps, you could find stuff like this, but it was crowdsourced. So people could add their own walking tours and, yeah, you can do stuff like that.
You know, there's also the hobby that a lot of folks do, or that is, I think is great for family, especially if you're a puzzle family, which is geocaching.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, which is, you can do in any city. You know, the my friend that we had on, Peter, who's the pilot, he geocaches all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great way to see a city, especially if you have young kids with you. And to find out, you know, it takes you to, well, I went up to Wisconsin to the Dells. We were out, and we were in the Dells in the wintertime when it's not very active. So he just pulled his little GPS out, and off we went.
Yep.
You know, pulled up 2 or 3 different ones. And just about every town I've been in now, I've done a couple in the Adirondacks. Last year I went to Ithaca. I've done 2 or 3 there. You know, it's really, really, and some are right out in the middle of the, you know, one in Ithaca was right out in the middle of the Saturday morning farmer's market, you know. But others are off in the woods. But it was, you know, once again, a great, really different way to get to.
That's another way. Farmers markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. We touched on that earlier. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Everybody's got to eat.
Or the city parks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, just go. A lot of times in the summertime, you've got live music. You've got little festivals, farmers markets, things like that at the city parks. And a lot of them have little walking trails, or you can go do paddle boats or something along those lines. And it's just a nice little activity to do with the kids. And then there's usually a playground so they can wear them out and send them to bed.
Didn't you do like Dragon Con 1 year?
I did do Dragon Con.
Yeah. So
when you do something like that, though, I mean, and Comic Con, any of that stuff, you're going to end up spending all your time in the conference.
When Chris did Comic Con in New York, he managed to find some place with $30 mac and cheese plates that had like a line around the block. So,
well, okay, in a big city, you can sort of stumble across. In Atlanta, if there was anything really close by that was worth going to, we didn't find it. There was like a diner and a couple other things. It's in that city block where it is. And I imagine San Diego, the same thing happens. If you go to Comic Con, you end up
that's near the Gaslamp District.
Yeah, that's true.
Heartbreaking because there's so much good food in Atlanta.
Yes. Well, it was heartbreaking for me because it was, and it's hard to get out because then, you know, you're kind of, you've paid for parking and you're, you know, so in that case, it's kind of like a business trip in that case, unless you build in extra time at the end. And incidentally, I mean, we just did an episode on Colorado and I talked about being in Loveland and I travel for roller derby a lot. I build in days to the end of my trip because if I were to really just go out for that roller derby tournament, I work 14-hour days. I was, you know, I'm officiating. Yeah, there's no way. It would look like the inside of a hockey rink. That's it.
My husband hems and haws all the time. He's like, your work trip should just be your work trip. You should be going the day you start and then the day, but then you don't get to experience. So I'm always greedy. I throw as many days before and on the end as possible because otherwise someone asks you, what did you do while you were there? Well, I saw the inside of the convention center.
Yes, exactly.
Or a hotel ballroom.
Mm-hmm. My first trip to Dallas. That's exactly, somebody was like, well, how's Dallas? I was like, it looks a lot like a hotel. Honestly, I haven't even gone outside, you know, because I'm working the whole time. So, I'm sure Dallas is a lovely city. And now I've had a chance to experience it a couple more times. But even so, usually when I'm in Dallas, it's for business. And I'm, most of the time I'm there, I'm looking at 4 walls with maybe a window if I'm lucky. So yeah, it's, you really do, if you really really want to experience a place, you need to build in time. And I book some corporate travel for a local small business, and a lot of times their employees will build in extra days. You know, I'm constantly getting itinerary, you know, shifts. I get the initial note, okay, we have this conference from here to here. Everybody will let you know what their travel dates are. And then they start, you know, I get different itineraries from different people because they want to build in time, which is great. I love that. I think that's wonderful. If you've got to travel all over the country for your job, then you should enjoy it.
I have a friend who travels a lot, and she's done all 50 states, half marathon and marathon, and she's going around again. Mm-hmm. Like, and she always incorporates them on business trips.
Well, and Elizabeth, you know, you were mentioning the walking trails, and Sandy was mentioning the running. You know, there's also the podcast we did a few weeks ago about biking in San Francisco. There's often, you know, biking tours. You know, Sandy's kind of gotten into the Segway tours. That's another great tours. Way to to kind of get to see the city, you know, or to see out-of-the-way places that you might not have gotten to see on a hop-on, hop-off tour that, you know, that the hop-on, hop-off tour can go.
Yep.
You know, that a bike can go.
And if you're in good shape or even medium shape, you can, we know of bike tours where you literally, the whole thing is biking. And most of them have allowances where if you don't want to bike this leg, you can ride the van from one place to the other. But, you know, yeah, you can bike it, or you can ride the van the whole freaking time if you want.
I just found a biking beer tour in Vancouver.
See, there's several of those in Fort Collins, incidentally, and I'm not interested. That sounds like a lot of work for my beer.
That's like the trolley.
Well, beer I'm not sure I'm drink and drive.
That is a lot of work. Well, no, I want somebody else to drive me around. I don't want to have to pedal myself. That just seems like a recipe for disaster.
Another kind of off the beaten path is, you know, kayaking or canoeing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of kayaking and paddleboarding has really, you know, taken a big leap in the tourism. And that's a great way for folks to, you know, I was looking for something the other day in Rochester, New York, I found it's like a huge long bicycle with a bar on it. And people pedal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They have that in Raleigh. Yeah, I've done that.
The bar trolleys. Yeah.
So, you know, and that's kind of how you see the city. You sit there and you drink, and everybody pedals. And
let me tell you though, you want one with a little bit of a motor on it, because even though Raleigh is pretty flat, that thing was hard to pedal.
Yeah. And there's actually an episode of the Brew Dogs where it was filmed here in Raleigh, and one of the local brewers did it. And they actually only had like three of them on the trolley.
Oh my God.
For television, and they really regretted that decision. Yeah.
My husband was mad. He was like, this sucks.
I would not. Yeah. That's too much work for my beer. But yeah.
Last time I went to and did a brewery tour, we did went by limousine.
See, that's how you do it. Exactly. And, you know, you're talking about kayaking, canoeing. I just wanted to insert, a lot of times people will say, well, those guides are really transient. And they are. They move from river to river depending on the season. However, they know that area still. I mean, they're living there for...
Like the whitewater rafting guides, like around Bryson City and Cherokee National Park and stuff, they stay there all summer. You know, that's like their summer gig. Mm-hmm. And so they're definitely in that area.
Yeah, and then they become ski instructors.
Or they move on to West Virginia for the Gauley. Yeah, because that has a later season. Yeah, they do. They move around. And some of them go all over the world. You know, they go where the river seasons are. But they're there for long enough that they know.
I think the bottom line is, like, no matter where you go, you can find the gems. I mean, you know, there's beauty in everywhere. If you just look for it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like you were saying about the woman who loves the fabric, and she's going out to find fabric. It's like, you know, if you're a golfer and you would love to golf in the city you're going to, let your travel agent know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like if you have these, you know, like I love to make breads and artisan breads, and if I could do that in some other cities, that would be really fun. You know, I have a friend who's a photographer, and he loves to go and you know, do night photography. You know, so we can look up, and it's like the more information you give us, the more we can find those off-the-beaten-path opportunities that let you see a city in a whole new way.
We have to wrap up, but that made me smile because I remember I had a conversation, and I wish I could do a Scottish accent, but I can't. But I had a client who wanted to golf in Scotland because, you know, the golfing in Scotland is the thing to do. But he said to me, he's like, I really want to go when it's not raining. So I called this tour operator and the gentleman who answered the phone was Scottish. He had this great brogue, and I said, so my client was wondering when he could go where he has the least chance of rain. And he said, he said, does he want to golf in Scotland or does he want to golf on a sunny day? I was like, yeah, I know. I'm just asking.
Yeah, it's like I tell people, one of my bucket list things is to see the Buffalo Bills play, but I'd like to see them win. And they're like, well.
Don't hold your breath on that one.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, my husband went to, he's like, I always wanted to see an NFL game. And we went to visit my sister when she lived in San Francisco. And it was over Thanksgiving. And the 49ers were playing Miami, which at the time they were the two worst teams in the league. And yeah, my husband's like, well, it's an NFL game. I said I wanted to go. And like the headline the next day literally was, just in case you were wondering, the 49ers suck more. It was obviously a horrible game. But he's like so thrilled to be there because that's an item on his bucket list. So again, don't discount it. Yes, if you want to golf in Scotland, go golf in Scotland. Just get a rain jacket.
And then you get the authentic experience.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcasts at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Flyaway. And please be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. On behalf of Sandy, Elizabeth, Laura, Donna, and myself, Lindsay, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly!